Are you optimistic about Major League Baseball, its handling of this pandemic, and the likelihood that it completes its season because it's right to complete the season, not because it tries to irresponsibly push through a pandemic that it's having trouble controlling?
Well, this is obviously a crucial week, and the commissioner said on Saturday, as you're aware, that they're still planning to move forward with it, and he used the word quit. He said, "I'm not going to quit." I think that this is really a very unique circumstance in the world and in sports, obviously, where you can look at the circumstances and see what you want to in it. You could say that the Eastern Division and now the Central have had some concerns, obviously, with the Cardinals now facing their issues. You can say, well, now two of the three divisions have had postponements, and you had 20% of your league not playing over the weekend because of this, and how sustainable is it? You could also say that that a majority of teams have actually abided by the rules and done very well as it relates to COVID. You've had cases where situations—I should use the word—where players have felt symptoms and stayed home, self-isolated, and things have worked out very well, where that has prevented outbreaks on teams. So it is. I believe, guys, that as we sit here today, I still think it's more likely than not that the season completes itself. Will we see all teams play 60 games? No. I think it's going to be a very incomplete, uneven season in terms of who's actually able to play games by the end of it. But I really believe that at this point in time that we are still going to see this season completed.
Miami Marlins now, 20 infections reported on the team, 18 among the players. The league's kind of come out and released a statement that it's the fact that they weren't following the protocols of wearing masks, and maybe it was part of their charter flight where they were seated. But let's be honest, they were all caught out at a bar partying with the team, and that's, if you're going to ask, you know, the fans, or if you ask the media, that's kind of irresponsible from a team at this point. You know, we know baseball is not, they're not putting teams in the bubble. They're kind of self-regulating, I can say, of their self and how they follow the protocols. Is this an issue where teams just won't be able to kind of follow the rules, or is just a one-off with the Marlins? Hey, they got caught out on a night in a town, and this might happen from time to time.
Well, we still don't know fully what happened, but as you point out, there's a lot of speculation and concern about what it was that precipitated these positive tests. So I think that it's a very interesting point that you make, because whether or not teams were traveling, whether or not they're in a bubble, the success of the enterprise depends on people following directions. It's the same thing in Toronto and Edmonton right now as it is in the 30 major league cities. Your players or your enterprise and your sport are only going to be as successful as your players are in adhering to the protocols. And so the travel part, I know it's been cited a lot as being the issue. It's, to me, it's really not. It just depends on how well you're following the rules in all areas. And that's no spitting, no high fives, masks at the ballpark and away from the ballpark. So I think it's true that collectively that we as a sport can probably be better about it. I think that's apparent to me. It's apparent in the positive test. It's apparent in the amount of times that you will watch a game or have watched a game in the last 10 days and see high-fiving or players being too close in the dugout when they've got all this room to spread out. I mean, there are common sense things that can be done that will result in what I would hope would be a lower rate of infection and a lower risk of outbreaks. So to me, this should be a time when the overall move toward really redoubling what is acceptable in terms of behavior off the field and at the hotel and anywhere in the towns where you are right now, that has to be reemphasized and underscored. And I believe it has been, and I would expect, guys, even though it's going to take some time for us to see the results of this, I do think we're going to see a renewed commitment to following the rules in these cases. And if not, perhaps, as in the case of UNSS, but as yesterday, if you're not feeling comfortable or if you're not either comfortable with the risk or if you are not comfortable adhering to the guidelines as set forth, then this season is not for you. And it's okay to make that choice. And perhaps that was one of the reasons why Yohannes made the choice that he made yesterday for the Mets.
With John Paul Morosi, I want to get to a couple of Blue Jays topics, but you bring up Cespedes and it fascinates me. That four-year deal, and he's in the fourth and final year of the contract he signed with the Mets, really hasn't worked out. And Cespedes has had some serious injuries and missed significant time. It is not unnoticed and quite striking, John, that Cespedes apparently opts out, but the Mets don't know where he is for a period of time and can't get him to respond to their calls. And then they put out a statement after he informs them that he's opting out, that it's a, quote, disappointing end to his four-year tenure here in New York. So, I mean, that's already out there. We're not bringing you back. Your contract's up. Go play elsewhere, pal. Was there significant dysfunction there? Is this just the Mets being the Mets? What is all this outside of just an opt-out due to COVID?
Well, there's a lot there, and you're right to lay it out in that fashion. The reality is Cespedes played 46 games in the last three seasons, 46 in three seasons, and that is obviously by any measure a missed investment. He got into the World Series basically in 2015. Then he had the one good year the following year, the opt-out, he comes back, he gets the longer extension, and then he has not been the same player. And I think there was obviously that underlying issue where the Mets know that he injured himself on the ranch off the field in a way that was not advisable or wise. So there are many layers to this. It does have a certain ring to it of, you know, same old Mets. But it's sad because this actually has had a chance, I could say, and it, because they've started out 3-7 now. They could have been pretty good this year. And Cespedes had looked good in summer camp. Stroman, of course, has had the injury. Syndergaard out for the year. So there are a lot of things that happened with some key guys in the last little while that have sidetracked them. But like a lot of things, they're a team that still has some very redeeming qualities. Conforto and Alonso, and there's some very talented players in this team. McNeil's another one. But when you spend this much money on a player who neither plays all that often or really shows that he's 100% committed to doing so, and that goes back years, it's a bad look for the organization, and I think that's where they're at right now.
With John Paul Morosi of MLB Network and the MLB on Fox, this is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. Couple of Jays topics, and so I'll take them one at a time. General reactions from you to two players. Here's the first one. Nate Pearson's brilliant five-inning Major League debut. The buzz south of the border, John, what are you hearing? What are people saying? This kid, I mean, we all think he's going to be the real deal, and he was excellent.
He is a future star. I mean, there's no question about it. We're seeing one of the very best pitching prospects that's arrived in the major leagues in a very, very long time. You think about all the great debuts and I covered Felix Hernandez's debut. I was around Verlander as a young pitcher in his rookie year, and he has that kind of promise. He has that kind of generational promise. Now, again, it's one start in. Pitching health is obviously the most important factor in how long a pitcher can stay at this peak level, but Jays fans, there's no reason to temper your expectations here. I mean, this is, from having watched Felix and Justin at the outset of their careers, this is the same level of firepower and optimism. And what I love about it too is what he was saying afterward. Hey, I belong. This is what I want to do. Where I want to be. I can do this. And you want to hear that. You want to hear that confidence. That is what you would call competitive makeup. Verlander was that way as a rookie. He never had a game where he felt like he was overmatched. There was never a problem that he couldn't solve with his own greatness and his own mind. And that's always how Justin's been. And I think I see some of the same stuff and some of the same mentality in Pearson.
Vladimir Guerrero Jr. is committing enough 6-3 outs on ground balls to shortstop to fill a bucket of baseballs. Is there any concern about his swing path? Any fears about his ability to make the necessary adjustments? They've already moved him to first base, John, and I've said, look, I mean, he's got to be a 40 home run hitter. He's playing a suboptimal defensive position. Still a kid, I get it. But he's playing a suboptimal defensive position, and I think they moved him there because he came back looking bigger again. And I think this organization is frustrated with his, I don't want to call it offseason because it was a COVID situation this time, but with his away from the team tendencies.
Well, Scott, it's a very good point. And I don't think that it's time for Jays fans to be worried about him for the long term and say that, oh my gosh, is he not the player that we thought he was? But the reality is that this is now on him to make some adjustments overall, adjustments at the plate, to your point, maybe adjustments just in his overall preparation as well. But this, and again, remember, he's 21 years old, and this is someone that you think about the American or Canadian university system, he'd still be in university learning at this point and developing into the young professional if you take a look at things in that world. So you have to understand that the young age that he is. But I think that it is now up to him to make adjustments. And it's a small sample size. I get it. It's a week of baseball. But there are adjustments to be made about everything in terms of whether it's defense, whether it's his approach at the plate, whether it's, as you alluded to, his overall preparation for the season. There are things that have to change. And I think now the big question for the Jays is going to be, who can help him get there? Because who on the roster, who on the coaching staff, who are the people that he really looks to and whose opinions really resonate with him? Because at this point, it's up to him. And you make a great point, Scott, about the first base situation. To be an above average elite first baseman, you have got to be a phenomenal hitter for power. And you've basically got think about how many home runs you'd see in a normal year among the people that make the All-Star team and play first base. These guys are extraordinary players with great power, and I think that the bar on what he's going to do offensively has now been raised at a time when the numbers are going the opposite direction. So the Jays have to find a way to get the best version of him, but ultimately that's up to Vladimir Guerrero Jr. himself.
Up against the clock here this week with the Jays playing against the Braves, they've announced Shoemaker, Pearson, Ryu are going to get the starts. What are you kind of expecting out of them?
I think this is still a team that obviously is very early in the year. I think that there have been glimpses of really encouraging play. Of course, if they closed out the game a week ago Sunday, they'd have a winning record now at 4-3. But this is a winnable series. The Braves have had their own issues, I think, early on with consistency. But they've got a great young rotation themselves in Atlanta. I mean, tremendous young pitching there. So I think I would look for the Jays to have an excellent series here. And I can't wait to watch Pearson pitch again. And I think Shoemaker and Ryu, the two veterans, this is the time in the series to see if this team's going to be able to make a push in these reformulated playoffs here in 2020.